Hallelujah, Lord.
I don't know about you folks, but I just feel like my praise needs to go on. I don't know. What do you think, folks? I think so. I think we just feel like, I don't know, maybe it's just me that, you know, now we're really into the Christmas season, and, you know, and I have this just feeling inside of me that here's the altars of the church, and on Wednesday night they were packed, and on Sunday morning, they're like, not a whole lot of people here. I just think our praise needs to go on. I just feeling that there's got to be some celebration of the greatest time of the year. Celebrating the arrival of the greatest gift in the history of the universe. Is there somebody that wants to come around the altar and celebrate with your pastor and let our praise just go on?
Here we go.
Here in your light we find what makes us come alive, a sacrifice of praise.
Today. Give him praise today. Give him praise. Give him praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just think Wednesday night, if you were here, it's got to start to overflow in our Sunday morning. Wednesday night, we had the healing service. And on Thursday, people started contacting me and saying, God touched me. God touched me. Touched me. I'm still getting reports. I'm watching people post online that I've been touched. We taught you on Wednesday night that, you know, sometimes we go after this 100% healing and we just want God to do this supernatural, miraculous thing. And I tried to teach you on Wednesday night, what happens? He just wants to do a 10% healing, get you started. And you get to believe for the other 90%. Instead of asking for the 100%, sometimes we just need to say, God, just give me the 10%. I'll believe still for the 90%. Is there anybody here believing for the 90%? You got to believe, right? Father God, in Jesus' name, no matter what, Lord God, you give us today, I still believe. I still expect. Lord God, thank you for this season that we're in. The greatest arrival in the history of the universe, your Son. Lord God, let us not grow cold to that. Father, I pray right now that you give us more power, that you infuse more passion into each and every one of us, Lord God. Father God, let us sing praises to your name unlike any day we ever had. Father, I thank you, Lord, for Wednesday night. I thank you for today. I thank you for this coming Wednesday. I thank you for next Sunday. Lord God, we just sing praises today and say thank you. For your Son's the reason we celebrate. Let us never grow cold, Lord God. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Church, go back to your pews and say, I'm celebrating today. Let's all celebrate his arrival together. Good morning, Cross Point Church. Now, I know you're going to have some struggles this morning. There is so much busyness going on our platform with the snowflakes and the lights and the trees and all this. And then the pastor shows up with this crazy shirt.
And you love it all.
I know. That's why I'm wearing it. So, and you may not be able to see me, but if you're watching online, I'm right here, right? And we're matching, right? And that's the most important thing, right? That we're just matching. Oh, good morning, Cross Point Church. I don't know, celebration begins. We celebrate every Sunday and Wednesday night here, but especially during this season. If you're watching online, thank you so much for joining us. Pastor Mike will be talking with you on the online campus and on Facebook. If you're listening to this podcast later in the week, we just welcome you here to Cross Point Church. We are just an excited bunch, right? So if you're excited, dear, why don't you welcome our visitors this morning?
I will. Welcome again. And if you are here at Cross Point for the very first time, we are so blessed that you chose to join us today. And we want to bless you with a very special gift before you leave. So there's a couple ways you can get that. First, there is a VIP Connect card found in the seat back pocket in front of you. You can fill that out, take it to the folks at the Welcome Center on your way out after the service today, and they will present you with that gift box. Or if you love technology, we do have a QR code on the bulletin. You can scan that. Also go out to the Welcome Center, let them know that you scanned the QR code and who you are, and you will be presented with a gift box. In that box is some information about the church, some little goodies, and last but not least, a gift card to Chick-fil-A. So if you brought five of you and your family today, you each get a gift box. We want to treat and bless each one of you to a free meal at Chick-fil-A. And again, we're so blessed to have you. And as I always say, if you do not have a church home that you call home on a regular basis, we would ask you to prayerfully consider making Cross Point your church home. We would love to have you be part of our church family. Also, if you have not opted into the text alert system, this is a very good time of year to do that. We have a lot of upcoming things going on that you don't want to miss. And I say these announcements every week, and sometimes I forget what's coming up. So to get into the text alert system, you want to text CP Church to the number 24251. It should be on the screen behind me. CP Church 24251, and then you will get text alerts throughout the week of things that are coming up. And last but not least, on my first group of announcements, we have Reach invite cards at the Welcome Center now. This is a great time of year to take a stack of those, yes. Hand them out to your waiters, your waitresses, your nurses, your doctors, your butcher, whoever you see on a regular, if you go and get a cut of meat at the grocery store, that's from the Brady Bunch, right? Your butcher Sam. Hand those out. It's a great, you know what the Brady Bunch is. It's a great way to invite people to church. And guess what, folks? This is the time of year, along with Easter, that someone might come that never goes any other time. So this is an awesome time. And as we've said many times, studies show that people don't come to church because they haven't been asked or invited to come. And we, as the Church of Jesus Christ, are the ones who need to ask and invite them to come. So make sure you take those invite cards at the Welcome Center.
Amen. Brady Bunch, huh?
Yeah.
All right, Brady Bunch.
Another one of my favorite shows.
And Partridge Family, too.
And the Partridge Family.
On that note, welcome again. Hey, today is the final day for the Stand Sunday gift cards that we have been presenting out in the foyer. If you've taken and going through that process, you need to get that stuff in today. I believe that's today. Tonight, here at Cross Point, they're still playing volleyball in the Graber Life Center. So if you're part of that, you're 25 years old or older, you are certainly welcome. Not that we don't welcome you under 25, but when you get a little bit older, the younger ones kind of show you up. So, right? So it's 25.
We don't want you to hurt the older ones.
That's exactly right. So 25 years and up. Now, dear, there's a special something going on, what, Monday night?
Monday night is our women's Christmas party. So, ladies, we really need you to sign up. Today's kind of the deadline because we have to call in to the Olive Garden with our count. But I have on my notes,
ornament.
6 o'clock. I was looking at the wrong note. 6 o'clock, Monday night at the Olive Garden. We are not meeting here. Just meet there, drive there. Mm-hmm. Don't forget your $5 ornament. We're going to do a nice ornament exchange and just have a wonderful time eating and celebrating the Christmas season as women together. Sorry, men, you are not invited.
Men, don't forget, we're crashing that party on Monday night at 6 o'clock, right? That's when the women will buy us dinner that night, right? You'll buy me dinner if I show up?
Maybe.
Oh, wow.
It's really women's only, so I'm not supposed to.
Well, then moving right along. Wednesday night, Journey Night. A Journey to Faith Fellowship and Food. We just had a tremendous Journey Night this past Wednesday. Once a quarter, we will do Cross Point Alive services. We are alive to healing this past Wednesday, and it was just a wonderful, powerful night in the building. We took all the programs that we usually do at 7 o'clock, and we met right here, and we just had a great healing service. And if you missed that, just go online at either the church website at cpoint.church or the Facebook page, and you can take a look at that and watch it and be blessed. It was just an outpouring of power, and we're just believing that we will continue with that outpouring of power this Wednesday. Don't forget, 6 o'clock starts the Canton table. We are going to deliver hope one meal at a time. Invite somebody. Pastor Nicole talked about inviting. Grab some of the invite cards, don't forget. And on the back of that card says you're invited to Journey Night. You can invite people to Journey Night, and that starts at 6 with the meal. Now, we're going to be transitioning from pizza to some other things, so keep an eye on that. When you show up, you may be disappointed because the pizza's not here. Or if it's one more night of pizza, we're not going to tell you, you may be really excited, or you may be disappointed.
Or you may be glad to not have any more pizza.
It just depends, right? Some people said to me this past week, Pastor, we don't want to get rid of the pizza. This is really good. Other people said, pizza again. can't please everybody, but something's going to change probably, so keep an eye on that. At 7 o'clock, we have all the other programs, Celebrate Recovery right here in the Worship Center. The youth are meeting. Journey Kids are meeting down in the kids' area. There's so much going on. This place is packed on Journey Night. So if you're not here on Journey Night, you want to be here. What else is coming up, dear?
So on Sunday the 17th, so that's 2 weeks from today, the worship team and the media team are working hard to prepare a Christmas concert for all of you. So that will be Sunday morning, December 17th at 10 o'clock, our regular time. Cafe will be open just like always. Come ready to celebrate the Christmas season and the real meaning of Christmas together. And then the following Sunday happens to be Christmas Eve. So our Christmas Eve service will actually be the 10 a.m. Sunday morning service this year. So Sunday the 24th, 10 a.m. Christmas Eve service.
That's a lot of stuff.
That's a lot of stuff.
Dear, thank you so much for helping with announcements. It is
check the bulletin for everything
check
else.
Check the bulletin. We put out a bulletin every single week. Thank you, Sharon, for doing that for us. You know, I say a church a little bit smaller than a lot of churches, but a whole lot bigger than most. The average church size in the United States is 100 or less. So we're well above that. But for the church our size, the program that the worship team and the media and all that they'll put together for you in 2 weeks is just going to be awesome. And you do not want to miss that. It'll take place again here on Sunday morning. Now, maybe next year we will branch out and do some other things outside of just the Sunday morning. But this year it'll be continuing just like we did last year for Sunday morning. You know, we're at the Christmas season. I have to admit, folks, I'm just like kind of blown away. It's kind of crept up on us so fast. You know, when we go through the fall and the situations and, you know, we get into Thanksgiving and all of a sudden Christmas arrives and you're like, holy cow, it's December and Christmas is here. Where did the whole year go? As I get a little bit older, I'm feeling that more and more, right? That it's just like crazy how time is flying. I don't know about you, but we're like at our home, it's just kind of like, wow, it's here again. I feel like I just took down the Christmas decorations and I'm putting them back up. But this year, here's what's going on in our home. And Nicole talks about her love for Christmas, and she does. She loves Christmas. And, you know, I'm certainly the beneficiary of that because the house looks just awesome, right? She does an amazing job of decorating our home, especially on the inside. I have to take care of the outside. Last year, she was really disappointed because it just didn't have the stuff that she wanted. So this year, I surprised her a little bit. I added some things, and we bought some wreaths again to go back on the windows, whatnot, and they lit, you know. And each day, you know, we drive and we come into the house and she'd say, wow, I would just wish there was some light here. So I would run out to the store and I would get something else and I would put it in that spot. And finally, I thought, you know, it's filled up. I think it's pretty good. So we drive into the house the other day and she says, wow, it's looking really good. I said, are you happy now? She says, well, I wish there was some light over there. I said, what are you talking about? She says, well, we got all these bushes in the front of our house. I hate those bushes. If they had string lights all over them, it would be even better. No more. Right? No, we're done, right? We're done with the lights. Dear, it's good, though. It is really pretty. It's perfect. It really is. She's not making me do more work, even though I'm feeling like I'm doing more work. Sometimes, guys, you got to say that's enough. Right? There's enough lights. And right in the center of our home is the 9-foot-tall angel, right, that lights up. And she had to have that, you know about that story probably from last year. We had to have this angel. She went out and got this big angel. Is it 9 or 7 feet? 8 feet? I can't remember. It's tall. The wings are like, you know, 10.5 feet. It's just a big angel. But you know something? Right below it is the nativity scene. It's a small nativity scene, and it's just a really cool representation. But we know what Christmas is really about, don't we, folks? It's not the commercialization. It's not about the lights and whatnot. We celebrate. We are celebrating the arrival of the greatest gift in the history of the universe. And for the next few weeks, we're going to be preaching on that, a series called Arrival. And we'll take a break for a week for the Christmas program, the concert, on the 17th of December. So you'll hear me for a couple weeks. You'll get to come in on the 17th. Now, folks, you really want to show up on the 17th. And we know we really packed the house on the 17th. We've done that last year. It just really fills up. We want you to continue to do that. Invite people. It's just a great morning in God's house. Lots of music. You know, in our home, it's all about music. We just, you know, my wife walks through the house all day long singing, right? And it's great. And we're playing music. We got music playing and we're listening. And, you know, I am very musical. I love worship and I love music. I just can't sing or play anything. But I certainly can enter in, right? I certainly can participate in worship. And that's what we're going to do on the 17th. Today, we're launching the Arrival series. We're going to talk about this time of year and what took place. And, you know, it's just not Christmas unless you're talking about the reason for the season, right? It's not Christmas unless we're preaching about the arrival of the greatest gift ever and ever. You know, you talk about the word arrival, you're talking about three things. You're talking about location, you're talking about time, and you're talking about a reason, right? That's kind of what, you know, you're arriving someplace. Now, when our kids were growing up, we traveled a lot. And we would then arrive at some destination. Now, we would tell them where we're headed, but when they were really, really young, they really didn't understand that. But when they got older, they understood. And we would hear this phrase, right? Are we there yet? Come on, moms, dads, you ever hear that? And, you know, we would just drive down the road 10 more miles and we'd hear, are we there yet? No, I'll let you know. But as they got older, they started to recognize the signs of arriving. For instance, if we were going to the coast, we love the water, if we were going to the coast, you would start to see kind of like watery areas, right? If you've been to the coast, you start getting closer to the coast, it gets a little swampy in some of the areas, you know, you see the bays and whatnot. And the kids would now recognize that we're getting close. So there was these signs of us arriving. And they got older and they realized that all they had to really do is not ask the question, are we there yet? They would just look for the signs of arrival, right? It's about a location. It's about some time. And there's a reason wrapped around arrival. There's always signs. So let's jump right into Isaiah 7:14 and talk about some signs and a well-known scripture. I'll give you some context here in a second, but it goes like this. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Right? Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you'll call his name Emmanuel. But I want to go right to the beginning of that verse where it says, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Now, folks, that's a very powerful text this morning, and we read it a lot during the Christmas season because it's the prophetic word of the coming of the Lord Jesus. But when it says the Lord himself will give you a sign, and you just got to really say, wow, no matter what it is, you've got to just, your antennas have got to go up and say the Lord himself. There's lots of signs going on in the world, folks, but the Lord himself gives a sign. Let me give you the background to this scripture. Over 900 years before Jesus showed up, the Israelites had a kingdom. I'm going to paraphrase a lot just for the sake of time. There's a kingdom. Deliverance had taken place. There's a kingdom out of Egypt. They've established this kingdom of Israel, but they split, as many of you understand the story. They split. 10 of them went one way, and 2 of them went the other. Now, there's 12 tribes. We won't get into all that, but there's 12 tribes of the kingdom of Israel, and there's 12 families. I'll just stick with that, right? There's 12 family lines, right? And they call them tribes. And so 10 of them went one direction. They established a kingdom. 2 of them went the other direction. They established a kingdom. So the southern kingdom is called Judah. The northern kingdom is called Israel. And there you have now 2 kingdoms, right? And then throughout the years, both of those kingdoms ended up having kings over those kingdoms. It's not quite what God really wanted. But one of those kingdoms cried out, I want a king, I want a king. And God finally relented, gave him a king, and said, okay, fine. You know, it's not what I want for you, but I'll do that. You know the story probably. If you don't, you can study it. But anyways, both of these kingdoms ended up getting kings. Now, some of those kings were good, but some of them not so good. Right? And that's kind of what happens. Just like today, some leaders are good, some leaders aren't so good. And then it's defined by, you know, what you and I think that the leader should do. And it's also defined what God wants them to do. First, really, right? So you've got a couple kingdoms here. And I love the context of the scripture. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. 10 of those tribes, they went to the north and the 2 went to the south. Established kingdoms. Fast forward a few hundred years, a couple hundred years or so. And now you have a king in the southern portion. It comes on the scene at 700 or so years before Jesus arrives. King Ahaz shows up. Now, if you know the history, you know the word, King Ahaz was not a great guy. His father was okay. His son was great. But there's this King Ahaz. He wasn't so good. And during that time, another guy was on the scene, and his name was Isaiah. Prophetically speaking, to that time, and you probably know this, read about it in the Bible and whatnot. So here's a situation where this king is ruling the southern kingdom of Judah. He's not so good. And so a lot of kingdoms outside of that kingdom would try to come against them for various reasons. The Israelites up north would look at that and come against them. The Amalekites would come against them, right? There's just a lot of warring and situations going on. Right in the middle, about 700 or so years before Jesus shows up. And so this king decides he's going to not follow the God that I'm preaching about today. He decides he's going to follow idols. A lot of idolatry going on. A lot of situations. And he's stubborn. But he's fearful, the Bible says. He's fearful because of all the warring that's going on. The unrest. And the more unrest, the more he reaches to the idolatry that he has set up in his kingdom. Not a good guy. And the more pressure it built throughout that time, the more he would move towards idolatry. And the scripture that I just read, prophetically speaking, Isaiah comes and says, therefore the Lord himself is going to give you a sign. Speaking to that situation and into the future, prophetically speaking, looking towards Jesus. And right in the midst of all that, folks, God says, I'm going to give this guy a sign through Isaiah. I'm going to send a sign. Folks, he still does that today. But back then, he's going to give a sign. And he's going to speak the sign directly to this king. Because this guy's got a lot of pressure going on, but the Lord thy God's going to speak now. He's not following the Lord I'm speaking of. Right? He's not following him. He's got all these idols and all these situations set up. He's still going to have a God in heaven reaching to him. Isn't that how it works? Even when you're not following the one true God, he still seeks you out. And that's what's going on here. God's not forgot about him. God's still looking for him. God offers Ahaz the opportunity to receive a sign at that particular time. If he believes in that sign, to be blessed. But he does what many people did back then and even today. A sign would show up and he would refuse it. God's going to send a sign. You have the opportunity to receive it or refuse it. Right? Isaiah 7:10 through 12, it's on the screen behind me. It says like this, moreover, the Lord spoke again to Ahaz. Again, he's been speaking to him, and so he's speaking to him again, saying, listen, ask a sign for yourself from the Lord your God, meaning there's deliverance coming. He's in war, all these things going on. One of the wars, he lost 100,000 men, I believe the scripture says. You know, this all kinds of stuff. It really depleted him, but he's still holding on. It's just a lot of pressure and stress. God from heaven says, I'm going to give you a sign. Just ask for the sign. There's a deliverance coming. Just ask. He says, thanks, but no thanks. I'm still going to do what I've always done. I'm going to serve idols, Molech, the Bible says. One of the, you know, just all kinds of crazy things. And what's God speaking? There's a sign coming of how I'm going to deliver you. But he wasn't necessarily just speaking to that situation. He was speaking for all humanity. I've got a plan. And I'm going to show up with that plan. And I'm just going to speak it to you. And are you listening? And Ahaz didn't even want to have anything. He says, no, I don't want anything to do. It's funny, he's responding. I don't want anything to do with this. You know, folks, that's exactly what happens today. God sends us a sign. And a lot of times we say, I don't want anything to do with that. I don't want anything to do with that. He's speaking, there's an arrival coming of deliverance in that scripture. But he really thought he's speaking of what the situation was going on at the time. And then it talks about a child, and there is some scriptural reference that talks about, well, he's thinking it's children or a child in the kingdom there. It's just, God had bigger plans. He's not listening. And then when he listened, he says, I don't want any part of that. The sign was how God was going to deliver him, but not only him, everybody, then
and now and forever. Why didn't he listen? Why did he not only not listen, but he refused? The thought's like this. Ahaz refused to ask for the sign. God says, ask. I don't want to ask. He refused to ask because when God fulfilled that sign, he would be obligated to believe it. See, when the Lord thy God says, ask for a sign, and you ask for a sign, and the sign happens, you're in a spot, folks. You're kind of like stuck. You ask, he delivers. What are you going to do now? Reject him? And Ahaz didn't want anything to do with this. But Scripture even teaches us he runs through the Assyrians. Not the greatest people, right? Help, help, help. When God is saying, I'm here. Now, God had already revealed he wasn't going to deliver him like he thought he was wanted to be delivered. It was a different plan. Ask a sign for yourself. No, I don't want to know, is basically what he's saying. I don't want to believe in you and your delivering power. I don't want anything to do with it. But God, in his infinite wisdom and love, gives him a sign anyways. He gives him a sign, church. And the sign is in Isaiah 7:14. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you'll call his name Emmanuel. You don't want anything to do with it, but it's part of my plan. I'm going to send an arrival, regardless of whether you want it or not, because that's my plan. You could receive deliverance or not, but it's coming. It might not show up for 735 more years, but it's coming. And I'm going to tell you now, it's coming. I don't want anything to do with it. Don't tell me. It's different deliverance than what he thought it would be. So he doesn't want it. And that's exactly how we are today, folks. It's a little bit different, maybe. People don't want it like this. They want it like this. We define the arrival. Human race defines what it should be instead of receiving what it is. And we define the arrival and decide how it affects me. And if we don't like it, we reject it. If we liked it, we take it. Isn't that just like humans do? Right? See, King Ahaz was so fixated on the current situation, he couldn't see the future, especially 700 some odd years down the road, even though he didn't know how long that would be. But God sent it anyways, just like he does every single day today. And just like it back then, leaders and kingdoms and people either accept it or say, no way. Or they go to a different way, some other idolatry, with some other religion. Right? What I saw on Wednesday night at this church, at these altars, continues to convince me I serve a mighty God. You can't convince me. I'm not going to run to the Assyrians. I'm not going to run to some idol. I'm just not going to do it. Why? Because God continues to send me a sign. But church, just like me, many of you, you are receptive to receiving the sign. Because the sign always points to the arrival of the Savior of the world. And we're receptive to that, but others, they're not. Just like back then, they weren't receptive. Matthew even spoke of it in Matthew 1:23. Over 700 years later, Matthew says, behold, the virgin shall be with a child, bear a son. They'll call his name Emmanuel, which is translated, God is with us. There were signs of his arrival. What's the arrival going to do? Deliver us from darkness. Church, the thought's like this. Today, people refuse to believe in any signs of the arrival of that deliverer because they would be forced to deal with Jesus. See, I want the benefits of Jesus, but I don't want to recognize the arrival of Jesus. I just want the good stuff. I don't want to have to follow anybody. I don't want to have to adhere to any rules. I don't want to have to live any way, certain way. I just want the benefits of it, but not the responsibilities. Right? So Ahaz didn't want to recognize that because he knew he would be obligated to do something. It's like today. It's crazy. Folks, it's just like today. In Isaiah 9:6, it goes like this. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The arrival was a son, blessing to us. and the government will be upon his shoulders. His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. A couple years ago, I preached on all those during Christmas. His arrival is even described. Governments will be on his shoulders. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He will rule and reign forever and ever. The signs were there. God even puts them in his word. The signs are there. His name is Wonderful. It's not just describing who he is. It is who he is. It's his essence. That's why the word says that's who he is. It's not a description of who he is. Like my wife says to me all the time, Pastor, you're just wonderful. I just say, oh, you're just wonderful. I said, no. I know. But it's not my inherent nature, because the Bible says I have a sinful nature. She's describing at that particular time who you are. That's not the way it worked with the scriptures. It's not the way that God set it up. Jesus was wonderful because that's the person. They talked about counselor, wisdom in all his dealings. And he's a mighty God. He's a supreme ruler. There is nobody else. He's an everlasting father. I love this one. The source of all eternity. Everything flows from Jesus. He's the Prince of Peace. He is the only one that will ever bring worldwide peace. You'll never see it. You've never had it. You'll never have it. But he'll bring it. Thoughts like this. The arrival of Jesus is that light in the darkness of people that forces them to accept the authority and the validity of all the scriptures. It's a love, a joy, a hope, a peace that's different than what they were currently living. Back then and today, it's different. You think about love and joy and peace, and it's just different than what we define it as. It's different than what they defined it years ago. He brings it different. And he wants us to live that. And I'm going to go over a few points with you this morning, church, about the light that arrived in the darkness. The first one is this light points to leadership for us. Did you ever realize and see that we are seeking a leader? And we're still seeking leadership. Why? Because the leaders that we watch, no matter what country we're in and what situation we're in, we just aren't ever satisfied. Somebody doesn't like them. But Jesus shows up and is going to bring leadership. What's the sign? What's the sign? Yes. What's the sign thing? What's a sign really do? A sign points to something. A sign eliminates the confusion. It puts you on the right pathway. And you live your life by a sign. Did you ever realize that? We live by signs. You drove to main campus today following signs. There's signs on the road, lines. You come up to this intersection, there's a sign that's hanging there that tells you when to stop and when to go. There's signs on the road that say you could turn left in this lane, or you could go straight, or you could turn right. There's signs throughout your life. You walk into the church and there's a sign that says main entrance. Aha, I know where to go. If you've never been here before, the sign tells you where to enter. And then you get inside and you see the best sign. It says, here's the donuts. Right? Here's a coffee and donuts, right? Cafe sign. See, we live our life by signs. But for some reason, the biggest sign of all in our lives, the arrival of the Savior of the world, sometimes a lot of us, we don't want that sign. We reject it. Many accept it. But we can't live without those signs. They're everywhere, and we follow them. A sign's sole purpose is to bring reality to your confusion, but the world today is rejecting the most obvious sign of them all. Why? You would think that when someone comes along and knows everything about the past, present, and future, that, you know, we'd follow them. When Jesus shows up and does what Jesus did, and all the miraculous miracles, you would think that those were signs were good enough. You would think. You would think that when a person is born, and the Bible talks about born to a virgin and all the signs, you would think that people would rally around that and say, wow. Right? The sign truly points you in the right direction. And Jesus came to lead. Jesus had numerous neon lights in the history pointing to him as the light of the world. When you go into Scripture and you just live some of the things that we've lived, those neon lights are just like as bright as ever. Why don't we follow them? Let me tell you a little story. Lots of stories today. I remember reading years ago out in California, some boys decided to do a prank. And if you've ever been to California like we have been, and there's Route 1 that runs down the coast, there's not a lot of guardrails. There's cliffs. And if you're going down Route 1 down the coast, you're close to the edge of a lot of cliffs with no guardrails. Well, these kids, these boys, had to be boys, right? Decide that they're going to go to the road and they're going to paint lines on the road. See, there's lines, a sign. And what's that sign tell you? Where to go, how to drive. These boys decided to go and paint those lines in the opposite direction. True story. To the cliff. No one's ever going to follow those. No one's going to do that, right? So they paint the lines right to the cliff. No guardrail. And so late at night, one night, a family is going down the road. I have been on Route 1 a couple, several times, and it's kind of scary, especially at night. So you're driving following the signs on the road. You've done it. If you drive, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And this family's driving down the road, and they follow those painted signs on the road, and they follow them right over the cliff. And the family's passed away, of course. Why? Because we follow signs. We follow signs. That family was killed. Why? They were following the wrong sign that somebody else put in their path, and they headed the wrong direction. Isn't that crazy? Does that ever happen today, Pastor? Of course it does. Many today are doing all they can to paint lines on the road of life away from Jesus. To follow those false directions is to drive off the eternal cliff, but God has sent many signs to ensure we don't miss the arrival of the light in the darkness that's his son. See, he didn't forget about us. He gave us signs after signs after signs. And when the false signs show up on the road, we should know the difference already. Right? We should know the difference. Something else the light of Jesus has done for us. The light points us to his love. Another sign. You know, there's nothing more precious than our kids. If you're a mom and a grandma or some grandpa, you know what I'm talking about. Or if you don't have any children, but you know how precious the children are anyways, right? They're just like super precious. I come into church on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday and I see kids. There's quite a few kids in our church. And the parents protect their kids, or they should, right? And here's a story for you. How many times have we read over the years that a baby had been stolen from a hospital? It's not near as prevalent today as it used to be because there are safeguards in place, but I remember growing up that you would read about that. I could go back and look at the stories that a child had been taken from the hospital for whatever reason. And you got to ask yourself, why? It's that feeling right now that many of the Israeli moms and dads feel right now because their children are now held captive in Hamas. Some have been released, but others are still there. Gut-wrenching situations, right? God had a son that he held precious as well. And all the signs pointed towards him giving his son for me. and all the bad things that you and I have done. And there was a revival that showed up years ago. And it really got me thinking as I was preparing this, and all the situations with our children these days. And then I remembered Jesus was sent and arrived for you and I. And then it really hit home when I remembered in the scripture that King Ahaz, what he did with his kids. He sacrificed them. He sacrificed his kids for idols. Jesus was sent by heaven and died on a cross because of what I did. It's kind of a sobering thought for me. See, the living God sent his only Son to give light to the dark world so that we might have eternal life in Jesus. Jesus' arrival was God's act of love to a dark world. You know, I saw yesterday on the television screen during one of the football games, this scripture, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. You see it when they put it up, when they're doing the extra points and stuff. A lot of times you see the scripture, not as much today as you used to in the past. The sign is not as prevalent. Whether they don't allow it in the stadiums, the security comes down and takes down, but you still see it occasionally. God so loved you and I. He sent an arrival. You say God so loved the world. Without that love, the arrival of Jesus means nothing. Doesn't mean anything. Without God's love, his arrival doesn't mean anything. Why? Because he gave us his Son to arrive in our lives as a gift. And we celebrate it during Christmas, but sometimes now it becomes so routine that Christmas becomes so much that we've done this so many times. Do we really let it continue to sink in? Not only during the Christmas season, but throughout the entire year. And then the word world is in that scripture. It's in many scriptures, and it says world. And sometimes we think of the physical space of the world, but it really means the past, the present, the current, and the future. That he showed up for the past. He showed up for the current. He shows up for the future. People that weren't even born yet. Why? Because God so loved. The light in the darkness for the arrival was because God continues, always has, and always will love us. Without his love, we would never come to know God. He first loved us. And only then were we able to respond. See, without the love, there's no response. Because the Son doesn't really mean much if there's no love. And that light in the darkness for his arrival points to his love. No matter what you do today, church, you're still loved. God may not like what we do sometimes, but he still loves us. He doesn't cast us aside, right? He doesn't say, that's too much, I can't do it, can't love you anymore. Humans do that. But God doesn't do that. No matter how bad we get, God still says, I love you. Something else the light of Jesus does for us, the light points to his link with us. There's a link from heaven to you and I today, and that light that showed up, that arrival, gives us the opportunity to link you and I to heaven. Matthew 1:23, we read it. Behold, the virgin shall be with a child, bear a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. God with us. God's desire to know you. Here's the thought. God did not just desire a relationship with us here on earth, but his son's arrival on earth was to provide a relationship with him forever. Hanging out with God. You know, many of you know that I go down south to play baseball with a national tournament every year. And it's really a blessing because in the national tournament are a lot of ex-Major League Baseball players. And we fill out this card that says, are you an ex-professional player? And they define what that means. You have to say yes or no because you're not allowed to have so many professional, ex-professional teams or players on one team. And so you get to hang out with ex-professional baseball players, people that I kind of grew up with watching on TV, hit home runs, do all these great things because I'm a sports guy. Now I'm on a baseball field as an old guy playing with these guys. How cool is that? There's Doug Flutie and a bunch of ex-major leaguers, but Doug Flutie, the Boston College quarterback that is just a gifted athlete. He's a football player, but he plays baseball when he's really, really good, very good. But how cool is that? But the scripture says, I get to hang out with God now because God's with us. Church, how cool is that? That's like the coolest thing ever. Because he arrived and I accepted him, I get to hang out with him. There's a link now between me and the creator of the heavens and the earth. And his son gets to hang out with me and I get to hang out with him because he arrived. It's just crazy. And I'm not talking arrival just on the physical sense because he arrived, and we do talk about that. But he arrived in my life. Because unlike King Ahaz, I want to see a sign. I want to have a connection. I want him in my life. He doesn't have to give me any more signs, but I still want him. Let me tell you about a final story about signs. Another true story. So there's a woman. This is a few years back. She's on a train, not in the United States, another country, where trains were the, still are, the primary way of transportation. So she gets on this train, and she's got a baby, and, you know, the people on the train see this woman, and they assume that's her baby, right? But she's traveling alone. This is years back. So she's on the train, and the train is starting to go, and there's quite a distance to travel. And as the hours pass and the train makes various stops at stations, letting people off and letting people on to continue on its way, she's getting tired. The baby, of course, is fussing. And so she decides, I got to get some sleep. Now, she's not a woman of wealthy means. So the ticket's kind of like a coach ticket. So there's a bunch of people around, right? We've all seen Gunsmoke, right? The train. People around, and she says to the gentleman across this little this aisle, says, listen, I got to get some sleep. If I fall asleep, would you let me know when the next stop is, because that's my stop, that station's my stop. She says, okay, thank you. So a few minutes pass, she drifts off to sleep with the baby in her arms. She's kind of like leaning up against the pool or something, right? She's some time passes and she's sleeping. And all of a sudden, the train starts to slow. And then the train comes to a stop. Now, people can see the city up there, and they can see that there's some lights and there's life. But, you know, they're kind of outside the city. But the guy says, hey, we're got to be at her stop because she said, when the train stops, that's my stop, right? So he says, ma'am, we're stopped. And she comes around. Oh, thank you. Next stop. Yeah, this is the next. Yeah. And the doors were even open, and she's towards the back of the train. And so she leaves and takes the baby and gets all her stuff. You know, it took her a few minutes to get all her stuff. She said, thank you, sir. And she walks off the train, and shortly thereafter, the doors close. She's towards the back. And the train starts to go forward. It's cold that night. It's dark and cold. And it's snowing, and it's freezing. And that train starts to go. The problem is, that wasn't the station. The train stopped because there was some debris on the tracks. And here they had asked for some men to go out and quickly clear it so they could get into the city to the station. So the doors opened for those men to get out and go clear it. And it only took minutes, because it wasn't that much, but the train couldn't go through it, of course. The train headed towards the station. But the lady and the baby were out in the cold. And the gentleman realized, wait, that's not the station, because they arrived at the station. But she had already arrived because she got out. So he tells some people, hey, this lady got out. I made a mistake. The whole story. And they, oh, okay. And they're scrambling to go back. But the woman thought she had arrived at her destination, because somebody told her it was her destination, gave her a sign. She even asked for the sign, and he gave the sign. This is it. And she got up and trusted that sign that she had arrived. When the authorities went back, they found her, passed away. Both of them were frozen to death and died. She thought she had arrived, but she followed the wrong sign. But the wrong sign was given. Church, you must be sure that you are listening to the right voice. There is a voice of God with signs of his arrival, of Jesus in this word, his word, confirmed by the Holy Spirit in your heart. It is the voice of true leadership and the voice of true love. God has placed signs in history pointing directly to the one way for us to be saved and to live with him forever. And all the signs point to Jesus. However, many of us think that we have arrived. Many people think that they have already arrived when someone gives them a false sign. They end up out in the cold, freezing, and then they die. Physical death there, but really we're talking a spiritual death. Church, there's signs of his arrival. They're all through God's word. They always happen throughout life. They happen here Wednesday night. Signs of the power of the living God and the arrival of the Savior of the world. Before we leave here today, I know that some of you are feeling in your spirit right now, deep inside of you, a sign. And it's tugging at your heart, saying, I am real. I have arrived. I'm here for you. And that feeling is God prompting you with a sign to point towards his son, Jesus. Now I'm going to give you a moment here to make a declaration of that sign in your life, of the arrival of Jesus, not only him being born in a manger, but him coming into your life and arriving. So folks, I'm going to ask you for a second here before we close, if you would just bow your hearts. I'm just feeling so led by the Holy Spirit as you are bowing your hearts and closing your eyes. No one's looking around. If you're watching online, you can just do the same right where you're at. I'm just feeling a sign from heaven that there's somebody here that needs to make a declaration that they are looking and are in need of Jesus Christ in their life. Now, this could be a first-time admission. Maybe God's just prompting you to rededicate your life to Jesus. That's just great. Sometimes we get off the track and we go a different direction. Sometimes we follow those lines over the cliff and we need some sign to bring us back. This is your day. I want to pray for you. I'm not going to ask you to come up front. I'm just going to ask you when I call for you to raise your hand, just slip up your hand. I just want to pray for you. I'm not going to name you by name. I'm not going to call you out. But I will certainly include you in a prayer. If that is you today and you want to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, maybe for the first time, or you just say, God, I want to rededicate myself tonight, today, and just get back on track. If that is you today, just slip up your hand. Your pastor would love to pray. Thank you for that hand. Is there anybody? Thank you for that hand. Is there anybody else? We've got a few hands already. Anybody else? I would just love to pray with you. Thank you for that hand. If you put your hand up, you can put it down. I thank you. Is there anybody else? If you're watching online today, you can certainly do the same thing that I'm just mentioning. You can slip up your hand in the privacy of that time, wherever you're at, whether you're there with some family. I know there's family watching today. They told me they were. If that is you and you're feeling the prompting of heaven giving you a sign that you need to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior or rededicate, this is your moment. You may never get another sign to the arrival of Jesus in your life. Is there anybody else? Father God, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord God, that you set a sign today and prompted people to raise their hands and accept you as Savior. Lord, thank you for those that did that. Lord God, I pray right now that they will seek you more than they ever have. I pray, Lord God, your anointing touch, your blessed favor upon their lives, Lord. I pray, Lord God, that you continue to give them sign after sign after sign to the arrival of your Son in their life. I pray, Lord God, in the weeks and months and years to come, if you tarry, that their lives continue to be transformed. Father, I pray that they get plugged into a class on Wednesday night here at the church to be discipled, to learn more. I pray, Lord God, that they come to celebrate recovery if they need to work on some habits and hang-ups in their life. Whatever they need to do, Lord God, I pray that they seek you in a mighty way. I thank you, Lord God, for the raising of their hand to make a declaration today at Cross Point Church that you sent a sign of the arrival of Jesus in their life. And unlike King Ahaz, they responded. Thank you, Lord. In the mighty, mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Church, stand with me as we close today, because we are going to proclaim as a church family as we go into the Christmas season. We're going to proclaim that God will continue setting us a sign of the arrival of the greatest thing that ever took place in the history of this universe. Why? Because we serve a loving God. He is God. He's my God, and I pray he's your God. Let's sing it as we close. God bless you.